Lord, we welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, I wonder, has anybody here met a celebrity? Anybody met a celebrity? All right, put up your hand if you've met a celebrity. Nation high, okay. Okay. Ross, who have you met? He doesn't know. Now this defeats the purpose. Who is it? I'll come back to you.
Two of the Carnation Street cast.
Yeah, and what about celebrities? Any? All right, Aaliyah?
I actually served Wayne Rooney candy floss.
You served Wayne Rooney? All right, candy floss? Answers so many questions. Nevin?
Seen David Ginola in Disney World.
David Ginola? French? Oh, wow. Okay, Hubert? The Queen? Oh, here, now, beat that. Beat that. Anyone else? Elaine?
The Queen, yes.
Oh, yeah. Anton? Yeah? Princess Anne. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else? No? Oh.
I met Camilla.
You met Camilla? There you go, Queen Consort. Okay, and Harry? You met Charles? Here, it's like royalty bingo. Unbelievable. Okay, well, I remember we went to... what do you call that? This is terrible. I forgot the name of the place. On the north coast. What do you call the wee place you go down to and there's a harbour? Ballantoy. Ballantoy. We were going to Ballantoy one day. Where is Zara? Is she here? She left when she saw me preaching. No, there she is. Okay, she's hidden. We went to Ballantoy one day and there was a big hold up. And it was because they were shooting a movie at the wee church there. And Zara waited for... 3 hours, was it? 3 hours, because she wanted to see a pic. She wanted to get a wee glimpse of Robert Pattinson and Sienna Miller. Now, if I'd known he was going to turn out to be Batman, I probably would have watched as well, okay? But she waited so long, and do you know what the most Northern Irish part of it was? That Brad Pitt was directing it, but he was having tea in the Orange Hall at the time. He was having tea in the Orange Hall. But Zara was so excited to see these people, and I could not care less. I really could not care less. So I went to the car and slept, and it was so much better than seeing Sienna Miller. There's some rare sightings that we don't want to miss, isn't that right? And I've got some kind of rare things up on the screen. Hopefully you can see those well in this bright morning. But that's called, what you see on the screen there, that's called a bismuth crystal. A bismuth crystal. And that occurs naturally. Has anyone ever seen one of these before? That occurs naturally. And basically it's a non-toxic element that forms into these beautiful rainbow crystals. Isn't that absolutely beautiful? That just occurs naturally in our world. If we move to the next slide, of these rare things, this is called a dragon's blood tree, okay? And they only grow in one place in the whole world, and that is Monaghan. No, it's not. It's Yemen, okay? Yemen. And look at how tight the branches are and the effect that creates. But the sap that comes out of it is bright, bright red. Dragon's blood tree, it's called. Very, very rare. If we move to the next slide. I can't remember what these are, so I'll need this light. Okay, this is called the glowing forest of Japan, okay? And these are luminescent mushrooms that grow in this forest, the only place in the world. And they create this, like, luminescent forest. Incredible, isn't it? And if we move to the next slide, we see, what do you call this boy? He is called, I've lost him, okay. It's his name. Oh, yes. He's called the peacock spider. And he's colourful. There you go. That's exciting, wasn't it? And we move to the next slide. And, look at that. Isn't that amazing? That's called, what is that called? Oh, these are called the shimmering shores of the Maldives. Has anyone been to see these? These shimmering shores, no? Of the Maldives, referred to as heaven on earth, these are bright blue sparkling lights that are created by this sort of special plankton that sort of shines, and it makes this look so beautifully shiny. These are amazing things, aren't they? I think that might be it, isn't it? Have any more pictures? That's it, we're done. These are amazing things. These are things that you would say to somebody, you would say to them, look at that. Or if somebody was going to the Maldives or going to Yemen or going to China, you would say, look at that. It is so rare and beautiful. You've got to see it. It's incredible. And the biblical word for this sort of, look at that, wow, is the word behold. Okay, behold. This is something worth looking at. Don't miss this incredible thing. It's maybe rare. It maybe only occurs in Yemen. It maybe only occurs in Japan. Behold, look at it. And here in Psalm 133, that's exactly how our psalm begins. Behold. You gotta look at this. Lean in and look at this scripture. Lean in and look at this phenomenon, because it is incredible. And what is the phenomenon that you're being asked to lean in on? Hopefully, if we wait for the next slide, it'll be on the screen. Thank you. Lean in. How good and how pleasant is it for brothers to dwell in unity? And we can extend that out to brothers and sisters. Lean in. Look at this. How amazing it is. How good and how pleasant it is for people, Christian people, brethren, brothers and sisters, to dwell together or live together in unity. There's so much we could say with this passage if we had more time. But here's really important. When you read the Bible and you see two words where you think one word would do, always ask the question why that is. Okay, so you look at that and you think, well, you could have just written, behold how great it is for brothers and sisters to dwell in unity. But it says how good and pleasant. Good and pleasant. Always ask the question, why have they used two words where one would do? Why have they used that particular word? Well, it's really important, isn't it? That some things are good, but they're not pleasant. Isn't that right? Like cod liver oil. Okay, that's good, but it's not pleasant, okay? It's good, but it's not pleasant. Exercise, for me, would be good, but not so pleasant. Okay, so there's lots of things that are good, but they're not pleasant. Then there's lots of things that are pleasant, but not good, okay? So there are things in this world where actually our scriptures tell us that they're not good for us, but they feel good, they're pleasant, so we want to do them, okay? There's some things like, I don't know, sherbet, that's good, pleasant. Sorry, it's pleasant, but it's not necessarily good for us. Lots of sugar is pleasant for us, but it's not really good for us. But it's wonderful when we discover something and we discover that not only is it pleasant, but hey, it's also good for us. Isn't that wonderful? And you discover when you look at a food and you think, this is pleasant, but it's also good. For ages, I thought Coke Zero was pleasant, but also good. It's neither. Okay, no, it is pleasant, but it's not good for you. That's bad stuff inside it. Okay, so what is this thing that's both good for you, objectively under God, good, but also can really be enjoyed? And here's what it is. When brothers live together, dwell together in unity. When we read things like this, we always think it must have been a lot easier for them to dwell in unity at this particular point in history, in this particular place. It must have been so much easier for them to do it than it is for us. It must have been easier. Now think about who is writing this psalm. It's King David. This is the last of his what are called Songs of Ascent, which are songs that they sang as they went on pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. And think about David. Because as David thinks about the family of God, he can think back to his childhood. Where, do you remember when he went to see, brought the cheese and all that stuff to the battlefield, and his brothers were on the battlefield ready to face Goliath, and David starts asking questions like, why is nobody fighting this guy? What do you get if you beat him? He asks these questions, and his brothers say to him, are you so conceited that you ask these questions? Like, David's brothers didn't particularly like him. He had a difficult relationship with his brothers. When David grew up and had children, one of his children tried to overthrow him, okay, called Absalom. David had his issues in the family. He had issues in the people of God. But he said, you got to look at how incredible it is, both good and pleasant it is, when people dwell together in unity. You got to look at this. Now, brothers and sisters, living together in unity. Do you remember the whole rage of Big Brother back in the day? You know, where you got these people and you put them into a house, and they nearly killed each other, didn't they? We know, what do you call it, Lord of the Flies, what happens when the children were in charge and they start to literally kill each other. It's easy to be unified with people that you don't live with. It's easy to be unified with people that you don't really know. And this has been the problem throughout recent church history, I suppose, in a sense, is that we have this idea that all we do is come together and dwell together for an hour in church on a Sunday, and we don't actually really have to speak to anybody, you know, or really go deep into community with one another. That's not what this is talking about. That's not good or pleasant. It's just an hour that you could spend any old way. What we're being called into is something where we are living our lives together. And you know, this church is unusually warm, I would say, in terms of welcome, in the context of all the churches I've been to. It's unusually, you know, there's a joy in here that is a real blessing. And we should be so thankful for that. This church is marked by that. And when friends of mine come here, or my family come here, they just always remark on what a warmth there is in this place. But I feel that we could be even more getting to know one another and living lives together. Like, I think it would be a real tragedy if there's people here who don't know what others do for a living. That if there's things going on in our lives where we're in pain or we're bereaved or we're sick or whatever, I think it'd be really a tragedy if myself and Emma knew about that, but others didn't know about it. I think there's an even deeper place for us to go in this church as a family. And I think we can go there if we all agree that this is good and pleasant for us to be unified with one another. And that's why we've given you these wee sheets and we've said, like, what will we unify in? You know, reading the whole first few books of the Bible in 16 weeks and meeting every couple of weeks to discuss it. That's what Immerse is. You know, praying at least once a month, if not more, when we go to Powerhouse here on a Monday night, every third Monday. You know, Friday morning Bible study, which is an unbelievable little community, life groups. You know, there's all of these opportunities, serving together as we look after children and young people, or serving together as we join in with Jane's amazing work in the tea and coffee, Rhoda. Like, serving together so that we get to know one another. I think that would be just incredible, and it would be good and pleasant if we went there together. It's really important as well to say that what kind of unity is this? Because unity is a word that's used in lots of different contexts, where people are said to be united together. But we want to be united under the Word of God. That's what we want our unity to be in. We want our unity to be under the Word, to be in line with what God wants. And that happens when we serve Him, when we read His Word, when we pray. So let's tick something on that list that we're going to say, yeah, I'm going to step away from the edges. I'm going to step into something where I serve or I'm fed or I share with others. Let's please do that. It's good and pleasant when we dwell together in unity. If we move to the next slide, just a couple of quick thoughts. It's like the precious oil on the head running down the beard as of Aaron's beard. The oil which ran down upon the edge of his robes. It was such a big thing there where every young person had a massive beard, didn't they? And not like a beautiful beard like Elliot's there, but like a big, big, big one, okay? And I'm sure the sales of a thing called beard oil went up. You heard of beard oil that people started putting in their big, rough-eyed beards? Probably their wives and girlfriends told them to sort it out. Beard oil to soften the beard. That's not what we're talking about here, although it does reach Aaron's beard. Aaron is the high priest. Priests are meant to be God's representatives on earth. It's something incredible when God anoints the unity of His church and they can represent Him to the world as united. Like, there's somebody who I occasionally go for a coffee with, and he might even be listening to this, and he always says to me, slightly cynical, he says, if you want to fight, go to church. Okay? If you want to fight, go to church. It shouldn't be so. It should be that there is unity poured out over the church so that we can represent the Lord to the world. Another wee beautiful thing, I don't know if you ever thought about this, this never occurred to me until this week, but the high priest, so Aaron's role, and every high priest was anointed with oil, and this is a lot of oil just flowing down. He wore this breastplate, and on this breastplate there were 12 stones. And the 12 stones represented the 12 tribes. Isn't it wonderful that the oil of God draws us out of our tribes into one? You know, I have a real heart for this. I hate that there's in the church, there's people who say, you know, I'm charismatic, I'm conservative, evangelical, I'm Anglo-Catholic, all these sorts of tribes. You know, if we're under this word of God, the oil should flow down, we should be as one. I'm sure there's other types of tribes in our church that we just need to see them melted away by the oil, you know. It shouldn't matter. Lots of the silly things that we decide, it shouldn't matter. You know, when the church is at its best, the adults know the names of the children. You know, when a church is at its best, we, myself and Zara, when we're on holiday, we go to a wee place up on the north coast called Mount Sandal Christian Fellowship. It's a great wee community, not unlike this, actually, place. But the one thing that I just thought was just so beautiful was they always have a time of sharing. It's a different kind of church. They always have a time of sort of testimony. And a mother came up and she just talked about really thanks because her child was turning 18. And she just wanted to thank the church for how they were always interested in her child up through the years. Always interested in how their child was doing in exams. Always interested in how the child was doing in sport. Where the child was going on a mission trip or whatever. It's incredible. Our tribes shouldn't even be segregated age groups. Because the oil of God means the unity of God. That we're all a family. I could say so much more about that, but I'll keep moving. Okay, if we move to the next slide. Thank you. It's like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. This unity, it is like the dew of Hermon coming down the mountains of Zion. Hermon is a mountain about 10,000 feet up. It doesn't really, it's above the clouds, it doesn't get rain. The only thing that sort of looks after it is this dew. And when this dew falls, it's almost supernatural, apparently, you know, how the dew falls and stuff just grows. And there's no way it could grow if it weren't for the dew that falls on it. You know, there's no way the church could possibly work if it weren't for the Spirit of God. Because, you know, you have to think about group dynamics. If you want to put a group together, yeah, will that fit with that? Will that chemistry work with that? The church isn't like that. It's a gathering of all sorts of people with all sorts of problems from all sorts of places, with all sorts of sin, and the person leading is the biggest sinner of all, you know? And it couldn't possibly work if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. So pray. For unity in the church. And not only pray, do it. Act in unity. Forgive quickly. Make the effort to get involved with other people. Church can be like porcupines coming together sometimes with you get spiked. But we must never give up on being a family and community. Here's why, more than any reason at all, we should do that. If we move to the next slide. It says, for the Lord commands the blessing there, life forever. Put up your hand if you'd like to be blessed. Okay. Some people don't want to be blessed. Are you mad? Okay, put up your hand if you want to be blessed. I know we're all sweaty and we don't want to put our hands up. But anyway, if you want to be blessed, the place of good and pleasant blessing is in unity. Life forever. As a closing thought, certainly I don't always preach this short, so
get you. As a closing thought, if we move to the next slide, please. We have, of course, this thing that has always been missing from the front of our church. This cross. Isn't it just beautiful? And it's a reminder that we're always, always, always circling, looking at this cross from so many different windows. This is the center of who we are. The cross. And, you know, we've been talking about unity this morning. What's the opposite of unity? Yeah, it's division, isn't it? But, you know, in just a moment, Emma is going to take bread and she's going to talk about it being broken. Jesus was actually divided on the cross for you. He was broken on the cross. His body became torn apart. And it's incredible, isn't it, that it actually says in Acts that that all these different tribes actually were unified together, conspired to kill Jesus. People who hated each other came together to rip Jesus apart. The divided became unified to tear Jesus' body apart on the cross. But actually, it says, doesn't it, in Isaiah 53, that it was actually God who decreed that Jesus would be broken. The division of Jesus. And I wonder, when you think about that tearing apart of Jesus, as you watch Emma do it, be more effective if it was a big bap, you know? But the tearing apart of Jesus, why did God allow him to be torn apart? And there's two reasons, there's probably many more, but two reasons occur to me. One is that you would no longer be divided from your Father in heaven. He was torn so that you could be brought to your Father, brought to God. The other reason why Jesus was torn apart was so that we could be unified together, so that we could have communion together. And that's why when you come to communion, if you've got something dividing you from a fellow brother or sister, you're meant to go and sort that out, because the whole reason Jesus was broken was that we could be together. And it's over that togetherness that he commands his blessing. Let's stand together. Emma's going to come and bring communion in a second. I'm just going to pray. And I'm not going to do this morning, but you know, if it was in a worse mood, I'd have you holding hands in unity. But we're not going to do that this morning. But let's just have our hearts together in unity. Lord, take St. Saviour's into a new place of depth of friendship, of depth of family. And use me to do it. Lord, let it be something that anoints our ministry to the world. Let it be something that brings growth, like when the dew falls. Let it be something that commands a blessing of favor upon this church. Thank you for the good, pleasant gift, unity. And Lord God, I just want to minister especially in this moment and ask you to touch especially in this moment anyone who has been wounded by the church, wounded by somebody that should have been their brother or sister, should have been their leader or shepherd. And healer of hearts, healer of broken hearts, would you touch and minister and bless such people today? Lord, we pray that as we approach this table, thinking of your brokenness, we would come together more than ever before. And Lord, we pray that the world looks at our church and says, behold, look at that. good and pleasant stuff. Pour out your Holy Spirit this morning upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.